All right, would you turn with me in your Bible again this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Once again today, would you read with me from verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, I cannot bring myself to believe, that is, unless someone shows me differently, and it can possibly be done, and so I'm not being dogmatic about this, but I do not believe that the Apostle Paul here is referring to the righteousness that came when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Notice in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now I know that according to 1 Corinthians, look back there please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and notice in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now there is a righteousness that is ours by faith as we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, but what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now in salvation there is no works involved. In salvation, I believe God. I believe that God offered his Son as a sacrifice for my sins. And I believe that his Son sacrificed himself upon Calvary, and that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I don't need to do anything. I just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and receive him as my Savior, and that righteousness is applied to my account. Now, there is another side to this that I believe that Paul is referring to in Philippians chapter 3. I believe that Paul, the righteous child of God, made righteous by faith in Christ, he is righteous, the righteousness of Christ is applied to him, is seeking a different kind of righteousness here. This is a righteousness which he must gain by faith. In other words, he must live his life by faith to gain this righteousness that is applied here, that is referred to here. In Romans, where we were reading, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, just simply believed God, and he accounted it unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if a man worked for something, the one he was working for would be indebted to give him that which he worked for. But he would have to work lawfully. He would have to strive lawfully. He would have to work on the basis of the instructions that were given unto him. I'm saying that that's what Paul is referring to in Philippians. I'm saying that Paul is saying that there is a crown, and this is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and that it is to be received by work, by striving, by running, by laboring and wrestling and so forth. But there are certain rules to be abided by. There is a righteousness implied here. Go to Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, now I am not saying that Revelation 19 includes the church, which is the body of Christ. I'm only using it as an illustration. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judge and make war." Come to verse 14. "The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now these armies, I do not know who they are. I don't claim to know who they are. It is taught that these are the saints. I believe they're saints. Whether they're tribulation saints or whatever saints they are is not my point in this situation here. My point is that they are clothed with fine linen, and this fine linen, white and clean, turns out to be, in another passage, the righteousness of these saints. Look back in verse 8. Make it 7, verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." And notice, it does not say fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It says fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Look back in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation 6 verse 9. "And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, they," and so forth and so on. He tells them in another passage that if you overcome, he that overcometh shall walk with me in white, and such things as that. And I, at the moment, I cannot remember exactly where the passage is, but it'll be in either chapter 2 or chapter 3. Now, look in chapter 3, verse 18. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and the gold tried in the fire," if I compare passage with passage in this Bible, will put me back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, our works are likened unto wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. All right, the gold will be tried in the fire. Already said, "Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear," and so forth and so on. The implication being there, if I make the application to the church, and I'm well aware that this is the tribulation saints and so forth, but if I made the application, it would be that Paul is saying, in effect, in the passage, "I have clothed myself with my own righteousness. I have clothed myself as a saint of God now with my own good works that I could brag in. Now, I have counted that but nothing but dung that I may win Christ now, and be found in him, not having my righteousness, which is of the law." In other words, as a saint keeping the law, clothed with a righteousness that would be mine through the law. "And I've counted that but dung," he said, "that I may win Christ and be found in him, having His righteousness, which is of faith. The implication to me would be that I, as a saint of God, I clothe myself with righteousness as I obey the Lord, as I serve the Lord, as I run the race, as I fight the battles, and so forth, based upon that which He gave me in the Scripture. In other words, by acknowledging the truth in the Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth, and by claiming these things and doing those things, then I will be clothed, and the righteousness that I have will stand the test of the judgment seat of Christ. But if I do my own works, if I do this on the basis of the tradition of men, if I follow the philosophy of men, as in Colossians chapter 2 and whatever, then all this will be burned, and I will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, I will be found naked, as it were. I will be revealed to have been a phony during my ministry in this world. Now, two weeks ago, I believe it was, we discussed the works for, in other words, we discussed salvation versus the works for a crown. Last week, we were still involved in this, and yet we have not exhausted all the truth that is involved in this. For instance, I want us to look today to some examples in the Scripture of men who would have had, they would have had that which they could boast in, but instead of boasting in it, they did away with it. They counted it but loss, that they might win a reward which was set in front of them. The first one that I want you to notice is Abraham. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, now the Bible says in Romans 15, the things which are written aforetime were written for our admonition and our learning, that we by patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, I'm sure that Abraham is put in the Bible then as an example for us. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice that he did not build a house. He did not settle down. He dwelt in a tabernacle. He moved about all the time. He did not establish himself in one particular spot. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, that is Sarah and Abraham, and him as good as dead. Abraham is 99 years old. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, I'm making the application that we are to confess that we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and our conversation is in heaven. In other words, we do not talk about earthly things. We do not boast in earthly things. We do not brag in earthly things. We brag in heavenly things. Not only is our conversation in heaven, our affections are in heaven and whatever, and we look afar off, and we see that which is going to be ours afar off, as these did here. Now, verse 14, for they that say such things desire plainly, they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now I could say that in the context of Philippians chapter 3, Paul is saying in effect, I have put all these things behind me and counted them but dung, that I might win Christ, that I might be found in him without my righteousness but with his righteousness, that I might win Christ and that I might win a reward, and that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and I can call it a better resurrection. Now, I'm not talking about Philippians 3, verse 11 being another resurrection. I'm talking about it being a better resurrection. In other words, a resurrection that has to do with a glory that would not be mine if I did not count those things that I can perform but dung, and so forth and so on. Abraham dwelt in that land, but he desired something better than that. He desired a heavenly land. He desired a heavenly city and whatever, and he endured. Look, he never received the promises, but he looked forward unto those promises, and he will receive those promises in resurrection. He will have a better resurrection than he would have had if he would have settled down as Lot did, and Lot fulfilled the lust of his flesh. Lot took what he wanted at that time. He filled his desires at that time, and even though he was vexed with the conversation of the wicked, he was pleased to dwell in Sodom and Gomorrah and fulfill the lust of his flesh rather than to endure and suffer persecution and whatever for a better country that was afar off. Some of us, sometime, we are more satisfied to take what we can right now, reach out and grab what is handy right now, and cling to that, and get the pats on the back from our friends and our relatives and whatever, as they say well done, rather than to endure affliction and gain the well done from the Lord someday at the judgment seat of Christ. The next one I want you to notice is Moses. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 again, and look at this man Moses, start in verse 24. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, that is, he's perfected, that is, he's full grown, he's not a child anymore. When Moses was a child, he was taken by his mother, put into an ark, and pushed out in the water. The water there could represent the denominational system that we see today, where they're tossed about with every wind of doctrine and no control there and whatever. Moses has no control over that little old boat that he's in, that little ark that he's in. He can't control his life or anything. He's a baby, as the Corinthians are babes back there. But Moses is pulled out of there and brought to age. Now, when he came of age, when he's perfected, came to full age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All right, this man, he came of age, he grew up, so to speak, he was perfected, excuse me, and when he became of full age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have been called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and in so doing would have inherited the crown of Egypt. He would have been king. He would have been king over the whole world. He could have gained the whole world. But in so doing, he would have lost the reward that is there in verse 26. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Why? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He believed that he would be rewarded if he would forsake all this and endure affliction and endure tribulation and so forth. And look what this man did. This man walked away from a home. He walked away from a kingship with gold and silver and treasures. He went with a people that were honor and mean and fussing and grumbling and arguing and bellyaching and speaking against him and lying about him, gossiping about him, speaking to his back, talking about him to his back, organizing groups to go against him behind his back. All of this he endured, having forsaken the riches of Egypt. He endured all this because he looked for a reward. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He believed that he would be better off to suffer the persecution and the dust and the dirt and the whatever out in the wilderness and gain the reward at the end than to sit in a mansion on the throne with a crown on his head and be owner of this world, gain the whole world. Then notice Jesus himself. In Jesus, notice in Philippians 2, For let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's exactly what Moses did. Moses made himself of no reputation. That's exactly what Paul did. Paul could have been of reputation by boasting in the flesh. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, so forth and so on. Now look in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, a reference to Christ. In verse 5, you'll find Christ glorified him not, glorified not himself. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now go to chapter 12. In chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He never enjoyed the shame. He never enjoyed the spittle running down his face and the pulling out of his beard and the crown of thorns crushed upon his brow. He never enjoyed all that he went through, the people organizing behind his back, the disciples after having taught them for 3.5 years, them turn against him and betray him. He never enjoyed the betrayal of Judas, who followed him for 3.5 years, and on and on. He despised the shame. He despised the fact that he was hanged as a thief on a cross. He was identified with the lowest of the low, and he despised that shame, but he endured it, seeing the glory that was set before him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to despise the shame and endure the shame, though, because you see the glory that is set before you. You don't boast in the flesh. You don't brag in the flesh and whatever. You endure the shame. Now, all this that we're talking about has to do with that which is like a balance sheet. It's a won-loss proposition. It is on one side is the gain, on the other side is the loss. It is like a pair of scales. Let's just say that I've got a pair of scales up here. Say this represents the scales. On this side, I've got the won or the gain. On the other side, I've got loss over here. Gain, loss. All right. These scales here, on this side over here, I can boast in the flesh the things that I can accomplish in my flesh on my own and so forth, as Paul in this passage. Moses could have received the crown of Egypt and boasted in the flesh, but he would have lost the reward which is in the future over there. In other words, I got to balance this thing out. I've got to lose all that I can win in this life, that I might gain that which I lose in this life if I go for it. Look at the apostles. In Matthew chapter 4, Peter and his brother are mending their nets. John and Andrew are washing their nets and so forth. And Jesus walks by. And he says, in effect, leave these things and come follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Now, they left their nets and followed Jesus. Now, look in Matthew chapter 16, in Matthew 16, 24. Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's exactly what every one of these people that we've read about did. They denied themselves the glory that could have been theirs. Abraham denied himself of that which could have been him in fulfilling his flesh, the lust of his flesh, if he would have gone down to Sodom and Gomorrah as Lot did. But Lot did not deny himself. Lot did not take up his cross. Instead, Lot said, I'm going to get what I can right now. I believe in gaining it now. I don't believe in waiting for anything. Let the day, right now, let that be sufficient. I'm not concerned with what's going to be on tomorrow. I'm concerned with this which is right now, and therefore I'm going to get all I can while I can. And so he did. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, I'm well aware of the context in which it is written, and I know the interpretation is not the church. But if I were to change it and apply it, look at verse 26 again. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world with the boasting of all the people in the world and lose the crown that he could have had? Or, what shall a man give in exchange for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I ask you, what will you give in exchange for that prize which is associated with the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Will you exchange that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for the glory that can be yours now as being a Baptist, a Methodist, and a Presbyterian? Will you exchange the glory of that crown and so forth to fulfill the lust of the flesh for a little while here upon this earth, fulfill the pleasures of this life here upon this earth? Will you exchange that crown that could be yours and the glory that goes with it for the enjoyment of smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and drunkenness and smoking pot and taking pills and so forth in this life, and fulfilling the lust of the flesh in the parties and the things that are associated with the booze and the rest of the stuff? What will you give in exchange for that crown? Will you give up the things of this life? Will you come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing and so forth and so on? Or will you fulfill the desires of your flesh and boast in the works of your flesh and the accomplishments of your flesh in this life and fulfill all this and lose the crown of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Will you do all this and lose the better resurrection? I'm not talking about another resurrection. I'm talking about a better resurrection. Would you rather reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, or would you rather reign without the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Which would you prefer? To reign without him right now? Have people pat you on the back now? Be honored by people as they drink the booze and smoke their cigarettes and blow the smoke in your face? Would you rather be honored by them so that you, by joining with them in smoking the pot? Would you rather be honored by them in drinking the booze and popping the pills right now? Or would you rather be honored with the Lord, by the Lord Jesus Christ, with a crown and reign with him in the future? It's your choice to make. You, only you can make it. And it is a choice, and you can either count these things lost right now and gain that reward there, or you can have them now and lose that reward there. But one way or the other, it's going to be, or else this Bible is a lie. Now, there ain't no compromising place in this thing. Either you're going to be clothed with that robe of righteousness which is gained by serving the Lord based upon the word of the Lord, or else you're going to have everything burn and, as it were, stand there naked with nothing to show for your life as a Christian except the tears and the shame that will be yours at the judgment seat of Christ. Which are you going to get? Notice Paul. This is fascinating about the Apostle Paul. As I go back to the beginning of this thing, notice in chapter 3, verse 1, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, it is fascinating the way that he refers to dogs here, and we've discussed this before, but not in the light that I want to discuss it right now. Beware of dogs. Now, go back with me, please, to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Matthew 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, the Apostle Paul no doubt knows all about this. Paul had the same attitude at one day that these apostles had back here. In other words, if I compare his gain sheet in Philippians 3, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the woman, she's nothing. She's just a dog. Of the tribe of Benjamin, the woman, probably couldn't tell you about her genealogy at all. Didn't know where she came from, probably. And Hebrew, the Hebrews, goes back to Abraham the father, the first Hebrew. As touching the law, a Pharisee. The strictest where the law is concerned. Why, Jesus said the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What they bid you observe, that observe and do. But don't do according to their works. The Pharisee was a strict person pertaining to the law. This woman back there, not so with this woman. She doesn't keep the law. She's not strict where the law is concerned. She's just a dog. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous with the law, blameless. She certainly could not say that. Now the Apostle Paul, though, totally reverses his position here. In other words, instead of boasting himself as one of the children, getting the bread and the great things and whatever, he just reverses the total order, and instead of identifying himself with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Hebrews and the Benjamites and all that, instead of boasting in and identifying himself with those, he just goes down all the way to the position of a dog, the lowest of the low, the Gentile, who had none of these things to boast in. He reversed the total order. He counted all that but dung. Did you ever notice the habits of a dog? A dog, as he wallows in the things out there and so forth, Paul reversed his position totally and completely, and so must we if we're to gain the crown. Paul said, I did it that I might win Christ and be found in Christ, not having my righteousness which is the law, but that which is by faith in Christ, Christ by faith, and so forth and so on. Now there's another group. Look at the Israelites. This is amazing about this bunch of people. Go back to Romans and look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11, verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now here's the verse I'm after. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. That is, he said, I want them to emulate the Gentiles. I want them to act like the dogs. The dogs are classified as Gentiles. Paul said, I'm acting like a dog. In other words, instead of taking my position up here of having gained all these things that I can brag in, I deny myself that position. And I take my position with the dogs, with the scum, with the rot and the filth and the scum of this earth. Why, that's exactly what he said back in Corinthians. He said, we're counted as the off-scouring unto all men. Go back there, hold on to Romans, and go to 1 Corinthians, and look in 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I thank that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we're made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We're fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We're made as the filth of the world, and are the off-scouring of all things unto this day. That's Paul's position. Paul saying, in effect, I've counted all this but dung. My boasting and my bragging and all that is nothing more than dung. I have positioned myself down there with the dogs and the low and the filth and the scum of this world, that I might win Christ and be found in Christ with his righteousness wrapped around me, and not my things that I boast in concerning the law. Now Israel again, he said in Romans 11 where we were reading, that I want to provoke them to emulation. That is, I want to provoke them to emulate the Gentiles. That is, act like the Gentiles so that they can be saved. Now look in Romans chapter 11. And in, I'm sorry, Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 30. Romans 9, 30. What shall we say then? Answer. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. And obviously he's talking about salvation. It's that righteousness that, like Abraham had, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. All right, here are the Gentiles which did never attain unto righteousness. Now they've got it by faith. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, I'm making the application. I'm turning this thing around, and I'm saying unto you that right now a crown is set before us. This crown is going to be given us based upon righteousness that we attain in this life. How do we attain this righteousness? We attain it by faith. What do I mean by that? I mean that as we take the Word of God and rightly divide it and do the things that God told us to do in the Bible, then we will be clothed with this righteousness and we will lay up these treasures. But if we try to win the reward here, if we ignore the truths of the Word of God and just cast them aside and don't abide by them, then we're going to receive our glory now. Men are going to love us now. They're going to call us the greatest preacher and the greatest disciples, the greatest Christians and all this and that and the other. And they're going to boast in us and brag on us and all these things. But we're going to lose the crown. There is so much involved here that it's like a flood that comes over me. And I get so that I can't I can't fathom the whole thing. As I see the lives of people today, look at the things that God told us to do. Very quickly, look in Romans chapter 16. Verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That, do you abide by that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteous with unrighteous? What communion of light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Come down to verse 17. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Do you abide by that? Or do you stay in the denominational system? And if you stay in the denominational system, why do you stay in the denominational system? What are you trying to gain? Are you trying to gain the crown? Well, you can't gain the crown. You can't gain the crown as you disobey the Lord. You're staying in there because you love the praise of men. You do the things you do because you love the praise of men more than the praise of God, and you shall receive the praise of men and lose the praise of God. You will not hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Receive this crown as a reward for thy service faithfully rendered unto me. Our time is gone for today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll take up again in Philippians chapter 3. Right now, let's take a break.